officially open.
Spain and Company, countdown to the NFL draft.
That's right, as we get closer to the virtual draft being held by the NFL, maybe virtual, but very real consequences. We're checking in with each of the teams to figure out what their plans might be heading into that. And we're kind of going in reverse order of success. So the teams with maybe the least to have to add to an already successful team, and that includes the Green Bay Packers, who were 13-3 under Matt LaFleur in their first season with the new head coach. First in the NFC North, ended up bowing out at the NFC Championship level against the 49ers. And that leaves them with some spots to fill, of course, but feeling pretty good. And Rob Demosky, our ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter, joins us now to tell us what their plan might be. What is the most obvious position of need for this Packers team, Rob?
Yes, Sarah, it's guys that have the ball in their hands. The guys that Aaron Rodgers can get the ball to. Yes, they are. But they've been neglected for the last couple of years, and rightly so, because they had so many holes to fill on the defensive side of the ball, some offensive line positions. The one area that they've neglected over the last couple of years specifically has been receiver, but tight end is a need too. And believe it or not, even though they have Aaron Jones, the touchdown machine from last year, they could probably use another running back as well. So as long as they get a couple of guys that have their hands on the football, that should solve some of the holes that they have.
So, I mean, Rob, you mentioned a lot of those holes for a team that had a pretty good year last year.
Yeah.
That being said, it's the question that so many franchises are kind of saddled with, knowing that they need a lot. You do mention wide receiver, but it's a very deep wide receiver draft, so you can get one down the road. So do the Packers trade up and try and get a one of the big-time names, or do they trade back because of all the holes that they need to fill?
Yeah, that's a great question. The one thing we know about General Manager Brian Gutekunst, who is going into his third draft, is that he has traded in the first round both times. He's traded up and he's traded back, so he could do either. It's an interesting point. It's such a strong group of receivers. So do you want the one in the first round that may be head and shoulders, or do you feel like the guys in the second and third round are probably, not that big of a drop off? And if you look at the Packers history, this goes back to previous general managers, but Gutekunst was here as a scout. They have done so well with receivers in rounds two and three. We're talking about Davante Adams was a second round pick. Jordy Nelson, a second-round pick. Randall Cobb, guys that have been here before. Greg Jennings. James Jones was a third-round pick. These are the guys that have really been the playmakers ever since Aaron Rodgers took over at quarterback, and none of them was a first-round pick. In fact, they haven't picked a receiver in the first round since 2002, and that was a guy named Javon Walker. So, they have a need for another offensive tackle. They have a need for an inside linebacker. They could maybe address those positions at 30 or wherever they end up in the first round and feel like they can get some of the skill position players on day two. But I would say this, don't be surprised if after neglecting receiver really last year that he doesn't draft more than one. I could see a scenario where he picks two receivers and a tight end, or two tight ends and a receiver, or a receiver and a running back and a tight end, something like that.
It's Spain and Company, Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornett, talking to Rob Demosky, our ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter. One season ago, as they were getting used to a system under their new coach, Matt LaFleur, they were sort of uncharacteristically pricey and spendy in the offseason. What has it looked like this year?
Yeah, well, you're right, Sarah. They had a big free agency a year ago in March. They spent $182 million on four guys, and we knew that they weren't going to be able to do that this year, so they went for more value signings. But they have so many things that they need to do going forward with guys that are going to be up after this season. I mean, Aaron Jones, I mentioned him, his contract's up. What do you do with running backs? Do you pay running backs? David Bakhtiari, they're all pro left tackle. He's going into his last year. Their center, Corey Linsley, who's been a mainstay with Aaron Rodgers, he's up after this year. Kevin King, one of their cornerbacks, is up. So they've had a lot of long-term work to do this offseason. It's been a much different offseason than what they had last year when they really were stockpiling for Matt LaFleur and really for defensive coordinator Mike Pettine, because of all the needs they had on that side of the ball. And really, you know, that's a big part of why they ended up in that championship game, like you mentioned. They did such a good job filling some of those holes that really the roster had declined under those last couple of years. And you know, look, Mike McCarthy probably was sitting there wondering, well, why the heck didn't they go out and get all these free agents for me my last couple of years? But I guess better late than never for the Packers.
You know, Rob, I don't know when the right time to ask this question really is with how dominant Aaron Rodgers has been. Is this the time where you look into this draft to find the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers? Because Jordan Love is a guy that has been shown in the top 10, and then he's shown that he's available there for the Packers at 30. He'd be a beautiful fit there to learn from Aaron Rodgers. Is that a possibility for them to move and go get him? If he's there at 30, do they say, this is our guy? How does that play out?
Jordan, that is a great question. It's one that we as a media group asked the general manager about a month ago, and he said it's never too early to take a quarterback in terms of time frame. And look, this was about the age. In fact, I think it was almost exactly the same age Brett Favre was when that Rodgers is now when they drafted Rodgers. Now, for his part, Rodgers has said that's fine with him. He understands, but he thinks he can play at a high level, you know, into his 40s. The difference with Favre was already in the will I play or won't I play annual retirement waffle, whereas Rodgers has made a more long-term commitment to playing. But Gutekunst has said that he's always going to do his work on the quarterbacks, and he would not shy away from it if the right guy was there. Look, at some point, his tenure as general manager is going to be judged by whether he's able to find the next quarterback. Ron Wolf traded for Brett Favre. The next GM, Ted Thompson, drafted Aaron Rodgers. And now Brian Gutekunst, it's going to be on him at some point to keep this remarkable string of quarterback play going. I would say this, though, Jordan. I would bet that this year, unless he absolutely falls in love with one of these guys and they're available at 30, that this would be the year that they would take a mid-round developmental quarterback, maybe in the fourth or fifth round. And, in fact, there's a kid from Green Bay, Wisconsin, who played at Florida International named James Morgan, who has been rising up the draft boards after the combine and is that type of early third day, fourth, fifth-round pick. You know, they might take a shot, see if that guy is worth developing, a la maybe like a Jimmy Garoppolo kind of thing. Now, obviously, the Patriots ended up trading Garoppolo, but I say take a developmental guy this year, see if it's worth keeping him, and if it's not, then maybe a year down the line you go and use that first-round pick on a quarterback.
It's ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky here on Spain and Company on ESPN Radio. Sarah Spain, Jordan Cornett. I'm curious, Rob, if you spent any time talking to some of these front office folks you've mentioned about the virtual draft, concerns that they have, fears that they have, whether they feel prepared to handle it virtually.
Yeah, just the people I've talked to, scouts and assistant coaches around the league the last couple of days, you know, it's really no different than how they've been conducting business, Sarah, for the last couple of weeks. You know, for example, I talked to one assistant coach for a team on the West Coast who is working out of the Midwest right now because that's where his family is, and he's doing all of his draft work. They're having all of their meetings online. He's literally living in the Midwest, even though he works for a West Coast team. And he's doing all the work he would normally be doing. They're just doing it differently. The one thing that I wondered, Sarah, was whether the league would maybe give teams more time in that period where they're on the clock. Because right now, I believe it's 10 minutes for between picks in the first round and maybe, I think, 7 or 8 minutes in the second round, and then it gets shorter as the rounds go on. I do wonder if, given the logistics of it and how it may take just a little longer, if the league would say, you know what, all right, you're going to get 12 or 14 minutes in the first round and 10 minutes. Now, they have not said one way or another, and I don't even know if that question's been asked, but that would be the question that I would like to ask of the league is, are they going to lengthen the time of these rounds? And look, the draft takes a long time, I get it, but where else do we have to be at this point, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, and it's funny, I've seen some people saying, you know, how will we communicate it? I'm like, I mean, you could still call each other. I mean, that's how you used to do trades, right? Was calling each other on the phone. So sometimes you worry that
calling it in and having somebody write the name down on the card and then take it up to, you know, yeah, it's Look, logistically, the conveniences that they've enjoyed. I know teams that spend millions of dollars on their draft room, the Packers being one of them. I mean, the draft rooms are high-tech, beautiful rooms where everything is at their fingertips, and, you know, that part of it's not going to be there. But these guys have spent all football, all college season scouting these guys. They're going to find a way to get it done, and you know, will there be a few more mistakes this year? Maybe. But I think they'll get it done, and it'll be business mostly as usual.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the time, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you. Take care.